Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. No more secrets sucked in and spit out by Judson Hoyt is for anyone who's ever been caught in the pomp of religion rather than nurturing a spiritual relationship. A young Judson Hoyt realizes his attraction to the same sex and is in constant conflict with it. After high school, Judson moves to Long Beach, California to join the ministry and find solace in a flamboyant minister, Brandt. No More Secrets is a must-read for those who feel lost and confused in their sexual identity and spiritual journey. This memoir from a veteran reflects on traumatic evangelical experiences which hindered his thinking for years. Judson grew up in Orange County, California. After high school, moved to Long Beach, California to enter the ministry. Later, he moved to Ashland, Oregon with his wife and one daughter at the time. In Ashland, he earned a B.S. in Business Administration Accounting. After moving to Washington and two more children later, he earned a Master's in Elementary Education at the University of Phoenix. In life, he's been what he calls an explorer. He's had various and numerous life experiences: author, actor, bodybuilder, follower of Jesus, play director and producer, entrepreneur, father, grandfather, husband, minister, teacher, and 24 years U.S. Army, Air National Guard, and Air Force Reserve veteran. Judson Hoyt, author of No More Secrets, Sucked In and Spit Out, joins us on This Week in America. Judson, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
This is a very important book, and you're very honest with your life and issues that so many people deal with here. Where did the inspiration come for writing the book? Because you get very personal in telling the story. Where did this come from?
Well, it basically kind of came from, the heart of the story actually takes place in the 70s. And I was caught up in a movement between the late 60s and early 70s known in Southern California, that's where I'm from, known as the Jesus People movement. And it was a kind of a revolution happened. And the Jesus People revolution happened out of the hippie movement. Actually, the hippie movement.
Oh,
actually,
yes.
Many of the young people came and had left conservative churches, and they just got involved. And this is, and out of that movement, really, it changed the whole course of kind of Christian history in a way, as far as contemporary Christian music that we see today, and among preaching style, among evangelicals, and so. That's where I was. Oh, I was about 15, 16, and through my high school years, I was just kind of caught up into this whole thing, and it was a very exciting time. So what happened was when I went and joined the ministry and got involved with this movement that came out of that, over the course of 5-7 years, that I realized that after it all kind of blew up and it went. The dust kind of settled. I realized what kind of happened, that it was kind of really kind of a warning to anyone who wants to seek or go into the ministry at some point, and pretty much all the wrong things that could kind of happen.
Oh, yes.
In a young movement. So that's what had happened. So what happened is I left the organization, and then eventually the organization just kind of disbanded. And reunited with the core group that I was involved with. 30 years later, we found each other on the internet and on a blog, and we were sharing our stories, and I guess kind of war stories, you could say. But everyone had a little bit different perspective, and mine was very different because of my position that I had with the minister at that time. The story was always kind of there, and so this is what kind of sparked it off to eventually start journalizing and to make the story, bring it together. I had to look at old videos and tapes and letters and compiled all that, and so that's kind of what happened. That was the inspiration.
How difficult was it for you to tell the story as you were sitting there contemplating sort of this jump off point to start writing the book? How difficult was it for you? Because to do this effectively, you had to share a lot. Was that difficult?
Yeah, it was kind of difficult to kind of relive these feelings, emotions, and, because you had to kind of conjure up everything within yourself. And I didn't want to really experience those feelings, and embarrassing things, because, it is a memoir, basically a young man coming to adulthood. And fortunately, I had records of letters that I had from the ministry, letters I had from the ministers. And the ministry went on TV as well. So I had access to a lot of those old videos. And then actually somebody from the ministry that used to belong, they put up some YouTubes of the old services that took place, because it was an evangelical type service. It's a healing ministry. If anybody's familiar with the healing ministry, or Catherine Kuhlman, which the ministry patterned after. And some people that have heard of Benny Hinn. And then to experience, because what goes on behind the scene in front of the camera is very different. And as a young man, you're kind of questioning a lot of this. You're questioning your motives. You're questioning what's really happening. You're questioning leadership. And so that was very difficult to kind of relive that and hash that out again and experience those emotions.
Our guest on the program is Judson Hoyt, H-O-Y-T. The book is No More Secrets, Sucked In and Spit Out. His website is judsonhoyt.com. Book available at Amazon, workbookpress.com. We'll go through that as we go through the program, and all this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. This really, explain this. Somebody might say, okay, is this sort of a roadmap, a how-to for someone who's gone through similar circumstances? Is that the case, a self-help book, or how would you describe this?
Yeah, it's not really a self-help book. The story is just written as it happens.
Yes.
Again, it's my emotions, my reflection at that age period from a big majority, it's from 16 to 24. And so I think a lot of people have experienced something similar, traumatic, with my same-sex attraction, and then being involved in an evangelical ministry, questioning leadership, questioning where you are in life, and then doctrinally, as far as my Christian belief at the same time, my mindset was, we were kind of almost kind of brainwashed in a way, thinking, oh, the second coming of Christ. I mean, we always heard Jesus is coming, which he can come anytime. But during that time frame, the emphasis was that the way what they believed Bible prophecy, that, Jesus could come anytime, and there's going to be a tribulation, there's going to be an antichrist, and all this horrible stuff's going to happen, and you're going to go up in the air, and so there's no time to raise a family, there's no time to get an education or do anything for yourself. Everything was to emphasize in this ministry to share their program, and we were on a number of TV shows, TBN, TBN was the big one at that time.
Oh, yes.
And many evangelicals were kind of on the same board. The excitement was there in that time frame at the 70s. At the 70s was this kind of a revolution in itself, just kind of like the turmoil that we're seeing much in society today. So as far as this help, no, it's just the story as it happens. It would probably trigger off emotions those people have experienced, traumatics, sexual feelings, homosexual feelings, or questioning your Christianity belief, questioning your value as a person. And then part of my story involves alcoholism with my parents and my reflections on them. So in that way, I think everybody has a story to tell, but I think we can all learn from each other's story and we can grow from that. And so what I leave at the end of the book really is resources that one can go to if they want to further look into counseling or groups or people that have experience. Many of these resources I've used myself through the years as I was unfolding this story. So it's really kind of just starts the conversation. Because a lot of people just shut up and just don't talk about it at all. Like, well, it didn't happen, or we're not going to go there. And so luckily, there's just more resources available than there was back in the 70s when I was, because you had to shut up. You didn't talk about
yes.
a lot of those feelings still, you know. So,
well, with your story, you are able, as you mentioned, it is your story, but people that are lost, maybe confused with sexual identity, spiritual journey, they can possibly and hopefully find something that you know, relatable in your story that will guide them, and certainly with the resources you have in the book, that's possible. No More Secrets is the name of the book. Judson Hoyt, H-O-Y-T, is the author and our guest. Let's get into the characters in the book. The main character, this very charismatic evangelical minister. Talk about Brandt and almost this this magical, mystical power that he had over people.
Yeah, Brandt was not much older than I was. He was 7 years older than I was. He came from a Hollywood background. He worked for Desilu Studios. He was a designer. He had a clothing store. He was, you know, kind of a party person during the early Hollywood time, and when in his teens, and then when he had the conversion, he was, got caught up in the Jesus movement himself. He saw something very sincere. He left that all behind. He just put, he just had a whole 180 degree turn. And he, what started out as a small Bible study, it was called Brant Baker Bible Study, and there was kind of an offshoot of this one church we belonged to, which was called Calvary Chapel. The, a lot of the movement came out of this movement called Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith, those that are familiar with the Calvary Chapels of Chuck Smith, and then little off branches. So Brant, he wanted to just in his own way, innocently, just serve Christ the way he knew. He wanted to, he came out of a lifestyle. He came out of a gay lifestyle himself and fashion, like I said. And he just had a very personal personality. He was funny. He was flamboyant. And he told Bible stories in a way that was very relatable to everyday life. And I think all of us, which were all just teenagers, you know, we were just excited. We just came together. The music was contemporary, and it just started to happen from that small Bible study. And then it grew into a church. And then the next thing, the church grew into a larger church. And then it grew to the point where we ended up actually renting an old Fox Theater in downtown Long Beach. It used to be an old vaudeville theater, had a balcony, so it fit about 2,000 people. And then what, he went on radio and then on television. And when I got involved, so I kind of saw this from the very beginning. I was still in high school. Right after high school, I decided to join the ministry. I wanted to get out of the household. It was just too much contention going on with my parents. And I thought I was going to join the military at that time, but, you know. So I ended up being his assistant, and that, you know, we had a good working relationship. And so, you know, I, you know, pretty much I did everything for him.
Yes, yes.
And as a secretary and assistant, and I'm, plus I had a kind of a theater background, so I was able to help with those sets. Yeah, so it's just one thing, before you knew it, we started to do drama productions, and so it's just kind of mushroomed from there.
What's interesting, because as you're talking, people may think, oh, are there any parallels today with what we see out there, what we see with some of the TV evangelists? Are there, do you see any similarities?
Oh, very much so. I mean, it wasn't a mega church like compared to the thousands I've seen today,
yes.
But the personalities, the dynamic personalities are all there. The similar fundraising, marketing ways, kind of almost showmanship. You know, we see concerts, contemporary music. And so you kind of get involved in the happening of it, you know, instead of the real, I think, purity of Christianity myself. So what we have seen today, definitely, I think I'm just very sensitive to what's going on behind the scenes.
Well, yeah, because you've been there. Should we take what we see at surface value or possibly be a little more skeptical, do a little more research before someone jumps in and decides to commit to financial assistance, for example, for some of these ministries?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think you should be a wise person, look into it, see where the money is going to, ask questions, how much are the salaries inflated? Is the money really going towards outreaches to help, as the Bible says, the widows, the poor, the orphanage, and not just to have a fake aid in it, so it looks like it's going through. But I mean, history just shows that that's gone on for ages, what evangelists have done. And then it's so easy to be even more so with today's technology and media that you can become an instant personality on YouTube,
Well, yeah, you don't even need a TV channel, do you?
Yeah, and so many TV channels. And so you really just have to kind of look into it and just and if you are any of a Bible teacher or a Bible student, you really have to question with scriptural what is just a fad, what is contemporary, or what speaks to your convictions as a conservative Christian.
There's so much there in Jetson's book, No More Secrets, Sucked In and Spit Out. The time is going by so quickly. I want to take a couple minutes just to go back and talk about growing up. Mentioned the impact your parents had on you, the attraction, the same-sex attraction. Let's first of all talk about parents. Talk about that impact, because that really helped shape who you were at that time and probably still are today in a sense, or trying to deal with it.
Yeah, my parents to me, I mean, they were kind of bigger to life to me. They kind of reminded me of a Hollywood romantic couple of a movie that unfortunately ended up in divorce. They were very, it's funny, my parents were very kind of, they were kind of flamboyant and artistic themselves. My father came from a theater background. That was mostly early in the marriage, and he did work for Universal Studios. He played bit parts. He was a writer. He was kind of a creative individual, kind of like I am. And my mother, but they remained lifetime friends, And I came, as far as my siblings, I had three other older siblings. I'm the youngest of three. Overall, we got along as a family. But the undercurrent, what was there, was alcoholism played a big part in my parents' life. They weren't the sloppy alcoholic. They were really kind of conservative alcoholic, but they were a fun couple. They would have, they liked to entertain when they did entertain. And it was so, I just remember the funness of it. And I think that was just the air of the 50s, because they're post-World War II, I wasn't really aware of the alcoholism until I go in my teenage years and how it affected them. And as well as my father had kind of a gambling problem, he became a rather successful stockbroker. And that's what eventually ended the demise of their marriage, that my mother wanted sobriety. She got the help. She ended up actually eventually starting a counseling center for women. My father never really got the help that he wanted, but he seemed to maintain his alcoholism, but he maintained his independence. But he was a very hardworking father and a caring father, but he didn't just want to get the help that he needed. On my mother's side, I would like to touch this. Everybody, when you're a child, you fantasize becoming something, a fireman or, a police officer. And so on my mother's side, they were, I had relatives in the entertainment field, anywhere from vaudeville to film. And it was mostly on my grandmother's side that my great aunt, Phyllis Seaton, who actually ended up being the first woman stage manager of Broadway. And she eventually worked for Paramount Studios and married my great uncle, George Seaton. who was a screenwriter, director, and he wrote many films, and he was the president of the Academy Award awards in the later 50s. And he, a classical film is Miracle on 34th Street with the original Natalie Woods.
Oh, yes.
That he screenwrote and directed that, and Airport. And then my other uncle, he was a TV writer for the Lassie series for many years. That was probably during your time. So
Yes, that's a very important, and you touch on that. A lot of Emmys, a lot of Oscars in the family that that Judson had, and sort of inspirations for his as he was growing up. Time going by quickly. I want to set the stage for the same-sex attraction. When did that begin for you, and what happened? What impact did the ministry have on same-sex attractions?
Well, yeah. So I wasn't more aware of my same-sex attraction to my early teenage years. And I think junior high level, and so, you know, going through the hormone changes and all that.
Yes.
During in your body, and I don't think I really had a very kind of good role model during that time. My parents were going through their thing, I ended up having a relationship with a good friend, you know, during the junior high school years. And we just kind of kept that secret to ourselves. And then it wasn't until I became a Christian, these feelings that we were dealing with, and, you know, our sexual engagements, we just kept to ourselves. And then when I had my conversion, that I didn't really have a foundation in the Bible that I really kind of needed to do. And plus, it was a time it wasn't really talked about as much as it is nowadays, and the resources were not there. And so it was just always kind of a mystery to me to how to deal with that. And so when I became a Christian, you know, we stopped engaging, having sexual relations with each other, with my friend, and he became a Christian with me. And, you know, I think he was just kind of following what I was doing, and we were following all the hip Christians and the rock concert people and going to church and all those kind of stuff. And so we departed our ways, but remained friends. And then when I went in the ministry right after high school, it wasn't really an issue for a while. And in fact, I experienced something kind of unusual, I guess supernatural, or that I felt there was like a healing or something. And then it was about 6 months being involved in the ministry. Then I ended up, one thing led to another, that I was having inner gay conflicts again with thoughts, and I ended up having an affair with a church leader at the time. And at the same time, I didn't realize that I was sharing the same mutual attractions with Brent, even though we never, you know, we on the professional level, and I never was attracted to him sexually, but we respected each other. But yet both of us never talked about what's going on, because he was conflicting what was going on in his life.
Yes.
Too.
The story is, the title is No More Secrets, Sucked In and Spit Out. And I've got a couple minutes here. I want to talk about what you learned in writing this memoir. What has this been like for you, going back and sorting out emotions and this whole transformation that you went through in becoming of age and getting to age? What has this meant for you? What has this been like for you?
Well, I mean, my personal reflections of, you know, alcoholism, divorce, and my kind of traumatic evangelical experiences, you know, I come to some conclusions after writing this story, and that I just kind of realized that, you know, I think I grew as a person, and these were reflections of what I was going through at the time, and my goal was kind of to try to trigger, help other people that experienced something similar or on some level, or, you know, usually when you read other stories, it kind of triggers off memories of what you go through. And so, like I said, to relive all that again, I think I've seen myself what's going on in my head psychologically, spiritually, and then I was able to, from there, I guess it took the courage to more explore what was going on with me. And I wanted to reach out to other people that were involved in that ministry during that time. And, you know, many people, you know, they said, wow, I didn't know what was going on, or they were thankful that this was. And some people just wanted to take the key and throw it away and didn't want to deal with that, the older elders and things. And so, and I had to do kind of a lot of research. I interviewed quite a bit of people. I had to research some of these people. And so it kind of took some prodding to get them to talk about it.
Did you have the title before you started the book, or, and I ask that because did you really feel that you were used and dismissed, literally sucked in and spit out? Did that come before or after the book?
I think it kind of came in a process as I was going through the process of writing the book.
Yes.
And then you questioning the other people, well, did this really happen? Did these people really make this decision? And then feeling years wasted that I spent, you know, usually right after high school, you know, if you're on the normal or whatever the normal path, finding yourself going to college. And I thought, well, a lot of this is kind of wasted. So there was an anger period. And then a remorse period. And so just like I said, kind of the stages of a death, a divorce, and then to rebuild that all over again and to recap. And then, you know, count your blessings as life happens, as my family grew and three children later and grandchildren. And so, and then you thought, well, you could do this differently and that differently, but you know, everybody has a path and you don't know what lessons you're going to learn, you know. And are you going to make the same choices? So.
Well, it's very courageous and certainly helpful for so many people that you've shared what you went through, because I'm sure there are others who read that and probably reluctant even to admit it to themselves until they read someone else who's been there and gone through what you went through. And it touches people on so many levels, including watching the evangelicals that you see ranting and raving on television, give you sort of a new perspective for that as well. You've been there on the front line of that during a time when this was all taking off with the TV networks and all of that. It's a book that's well written. The book is published by Workbook Press, Working with Authors, Making History. You'll find a book at their website, workbookpress.com. Also, Judson's website now is judsonhoyt.com. The book available, Amazon, the usual places. The book is No More Secrets, Sucked In and Spit Out. I got about 30 seconds here at the end. Are you working on another book now? You did such an excellent job in telling your story and in helping people here. Are you working on anything else?
Yeah, I'm working on actually part two of this book. Originally, when I got together with the editor, she said, well, really, you have three stories here, you know. And the first book is the bulk of it. It is kind of a large read, over 100,000 words. And then I decided to take book two, combine the two together, two to three. So it's basically life after the ministry. What happens after, as I, you know, start to develop as a husband and father and making career decisions, and why I made so many career decisions in the process, in this journey. And so it's just a continuation, and the book will come up to the present. The rough draft is just about done.
Oh, good.
And then I'm in the middle of writing a screenplay too, so yeah. And I think there'll be other parts that people relate to. Okay, what happened to this young man afterwards? And I think a lot of those stories are not told. That book will probably be about 45,000 words there. So
we'll look forward.
Think it's up to present where I am.
Well, it's such a remarkable story, and all of these choices you made all through of your life, the different changes in lifestyle, careers that we talked about, all made you who you are today, and gives you this credibility you have to write about it and to talk about it and to help other people. Judson, it's been a pleasure having him on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. Time went by way too quickly. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure to have you with us. And Judson's book is No More Secrets, Sucked In and Spit Out. It's Judson Hoyt, H-O-Y-T. His website, judsonhoyt.com. Book available at amazon.com, workbookpress.com, all the usual places. And, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.